Welcome to the Industry Partnership Podcast Series for 2022, ACES to Greatness. Acknowledgement is offered to the traditional owners of the land we live and work on and the bloodlines that run through the amazing workers that form this community sector. We know that communities of practice are the heart and soul of knowledge sharing. So in this series, we'll be asking specialist homelessness service leaders who have achieved the Australian Services Excellence Standards to openly and candidly share the ups and the downs of their individual journey, taking their service from ACES to greatness. If you have been thinking, I don't know where to begin, what do the standards even mean, or how does ACES really impact my practice, then stay tuned because this is the show for you. Welcome everyone to today's interview. I'm joined by the very charismatic is how I would describe Anne Fletcher. Anne's from Port Stephens Family and Neighbourhood Services. She's the assistant manager there, of course, and she's also the team leader for early intervention and homelessness services. Welcome, Anne. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for asking me. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, definitely when we talked about putting together a podcast, you're definitely first the top of my mind. I said we need to get on Anne on here and share these fantastic learnings. And you know, you're such a great communicator. I think I've always loved listening to you, hearing you share at some of the meetings that we have. And it really makes things a lot clearer for us when we can get together and have these conversations and actually start to unpack ACES and the whole journey. But I just wanted to start quickly with a little bit more of an introduction. If you're able to tell us a little bit about your service, so, roughly what size it is, where you're located, or anything else that you'd like to share.
Sure. So I'm located at the Raymond Terrace site, but our service covers the whole of Port Stephens LGA, which is around about 2 hours north of Sydney. We have a great mix of backgrounds in the region. We've got a relatively high Aboriginal population as well as a high social housing cohort. And then we have self-funded retirees, and also the defence have a lot of their homes located in our LGA. So it's a real mix of backgrounds and experiences for all of the community here. We've been located in the community probably for about 20 or so years. I first started working with Port Stephens Family Support as another service, providing service with them back in early 2000s. So it's really well established. It's been here quite a long time. It's very well known in the community. We've got very close links with the police, with all of the public schools, with all of the DCJ funded services in the area, as well as a number of federally funded services and health funded services. So we're really well placed to be able to work in the community, especially with the people that are presenting to us as reporting as being homeless. I've been here probably working in this particular position for about 8 years now. And since the going home, staying home funding was rolled out back in 2014.
Excellent. Yeah. Wealth of knowledge and a wealth of experience. I think, that just that local community knowledge is so valued, It's something that you can't, even through emails and, even our Zoom calls can be hard to convey, but that community knowledge is so invaluable.
Yeah.
Sure. So obviously focusing on ACES, big topic for everybody at the moment, in particular coming into the new year, everyone's starting to go, okay, let's look at getting this started if they haven't already started as yet, which is obviously the focus of the podcast today. But I'd want you to just, I guess, travel back in time a little bit. Obviously you guys have completed your ACES journey, you've now received your accreditation, but if we go back in time just a little bit, if you can remember, I guess, just what some of your thoughts and feelings were originally going into the beginning of the ACES work. Do you recall?
Well, I guess at the beginning, probably back to, say, 2020, when it was announced that the extension was going to be granted because of COVID and the impacts of that, we sort of looked at each other, the manager and myself, and we just thought, oh, there's just no point waiting. You might as well just, you know, bite the frog and get on with it. It's a bit of a saying that I have. You know, you eat the frog first and then everything else just gets better from there.
Yes.
So we just decided, no, we just have to do it and no point hanging around. We've already gone through accreditation in some of our early childhood programs, so we weren't that afraid of it because we did have that experience and we knew that we had a very good solid foundation of policies already in place. So it sounds like you're feeling pretty confident.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we were feeling pretty confident. But, you know, there's always that unsure, you know, the unknown or really or what it might expose that we have a big gap in. Mm. But we just thought, well, let's just try because it's a situation where you've got the competent or not yet competent. So, you know, there's no pass or fail. It's just a working towards thing. So we figured we would be on the front foot and get it over and done with. And then, you know, we can move on to the other stuff that we still have to do every day. So we originally reached out to the assessor that was pretty much our first thing to do. We checked in with a couple of other services locally to see whether they'd made any contact with anyone.
Mm.
And a couple of them recommended some people that they knew. So, yeah, we just reached out and made a time to have an appointment with them, and that happened in the January of 2021.
Mm.
And we just kind of went from there, really.
Yeah, well, and that was really, I guess, the burning question that I think, you know, a lot of people are asking at the moment is, you know, where do I start? I think some people, you know, feeling a little bit overwhelmed, and it's, you know, it is a massive piece of work both individually and for the sector. And so it's, yeah, what is that first step? But even prior to that, and I think you've touched on it a little bit already, I was just going to ask you, like, how did you know it was the right time for you and your service to really push forward and put the foot down on the ACES work? Like, how did you know, like, yep, this is the right time for us and we've got, you know, everything's in place? Or what thoughts did you have around knowing that it was the right time and preparing?
Well, I guess it's really just one of those things that you think, well, 2023 is quite a long time away, but also knowing how fast time goes. And if you are busy, you're just going to find that busyness takes up everything all of the time regardless. So it's the typical thing of if something's important to you, you'll find a way. And if it's not, you'll find excuses. So we just thought, no, we just need to do it. We just got to bite the bullet, just make our commitment to do it. And we were going to prioritize it. And it was something that needed to happen. And we did not want it hanging over our heads for years to come. And to, that busyness is just always there, always there, always there. So we just thought, no, just get started, get on top of it. And before things got overwhelmed, like in terms of the assessors as well, we thought, well, if we waited until the end, the assessors that we wanted to work with may not be available because they've already got all of the other services to work with. So we thought if we got in first, we'd get the one that we wanted. And yeah, we would have time also to see, okay, all right, well, that one's not the right fit for us. Let's try another one. Let's try another one. I mean, fortunately for us, the first one that we tried was the right fit. So I think that kind of speaks volumes to who has been selected as an appropriate assessor, you know, on the approvals board.
Mm. Mm. It sounds like it was really a case of not overthinking it. We can't overthink this, guys. We really just have to jump in and just take that jump as well too. I just had a thought while you were speaking as well, like the fact that we're so used to working in crisis, and it's something that we do very, very well. Yeah. But do you think sometimes there's also that working in crisis, there's always going to be something that's more important?
Without that
crisis element that we, you know, thrive in, and that I think most of us, you know, this is a lot of the motivation of why we get into the sector as well, is to make those changes for those clients who are in need. But you know, that it is trying to strike that balance between the crisis work and putting work like this on the agenda. Is that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It had to be done. So you just had to prioritise it in with all of the other priorities. There was no getting away from that. So we just really both committed to it, both Sue and myself committed to this is a priority for us in this next 6 months to get this achieved. Mm. And we're not going to let it fall to the bottom of the list because it would always just go to the bottom of the list because you can always find more things that are more important, of course. Yeah. But it's true, the saying, if it's important to you, you'll find a way. And if it's not important, you'll find an excuse. So we just thought, no excuses, just getting on with it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And so I just wanted to touch on, I guess, the foresight with the project planning of it, which, I think you have briefly sort of mentioned, you know, mm-hmm. that engaging the assessor was something that you did quite early on, mm. and that sounds like it was a really important part of your sort of plan. Yeah. But in terms of, like, planning out the other elements of the project, was it something that you sort of, like, sat down and did, you know, a bit of a project plan with, you know, with yourself and Sue, with the staff, or was it more sort of like, let's just start and feel it out as we go? Like, what was the approach to sort of planning out the components of the work as you sort of saw it in the early stages?
Mm. So the first thing that we did was meet with the assessor, and because they had a whole heap of tools already prepared, questions that they might ask, things that they're going to be looking for, it was all set out in a really lovely document that was just handed over to us, and it's like, this is what we're going to be working on. So it kind of really gave us a bit of a roadmap of what we were going to be working towards. So we were able to look at that with Sue, myself, the board of management, the finance team, and of course the homelessness team. So we all took our relevant parts that we were going to be responsible for, and me particularly, I took the part of guiding the team because I'm their team leader. So we sat together, we went through all of the questions, the possible questions that could be asked. We had a bit of a workshop around it, and we took some notes, and everyone had a go at answering, and I was just so proud because everyone was really able to come up with answers on all of the questions. And I'm just like, yay, my team know policy and procedure. They actually know what we're doing and how to find things. And, yeah, and for people that were a bit newer maybe and didn't quite have an understanding, or maybe the language was a little bit different that they weren't quite used to hearing, you know, the rest of the team were able to jump in and help. And then I went back to Sue and said, okay, this is what the team's come up with. This is what they know. And, yeah, that just really inspired so much confidence in both her and I to know that, number one, the staff knew, but also that they were keen for it and they were on board with it. Because I think that as leaders, we were passionate about getting accredited and achieving that tick in our box. Hmm. But it's no point you just as one person, as the team leader, or as a manager being impassioned about something and you've left everyone else behind, you kind of turn around and go, hang on, no one's keeping up with me here. So it was really important to spend that time initially to get everyone's comprehension up to speed with what was going to be asked of them, what they were going to be looking for. We looked through all of the documents, so everyone really knew what was coming at them. And I think the thing that was really made clear by the assessor is that they're not here to try and catch you out. They're not trying to catch you doing something wrong so they can dob on you. You know, it's really just a matter of, okay, there's a bit of a gap that we've recognised here, so you could do this and this and this to help populate that part of your plan to get you across the line. So it was really those two elements, I think, having the team on board and making sure that everyone understood what they were doing, but also knowing that the assessor was there to actually help you succeed. They want you to succeed. They want you to get this right. So it's not a pass or fail. It's a, you know, it's about building towards competence. And that's, I find that really energizing.
Yeah,
as opposed
definitely.
To feeling, you know, depleted or thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to fail. Because, you know, like, no one likes to fail. Let's face
exactly.
it.
Yeah. But just unpacking the staff involvement a little bit further, because I think that's a really important point, and it's really sort of interesting point I guess, and just understanding how that sort of looked a little bit more for you. Was it something that you sort of rolled out over like a number of team meetings? Was it something that you had specific, you know, workshops about just about ACES, or, you know, how did that sort of look in, on the ground day to day with the team involvement?
So I guess I'd been coming back to the team after operations groups meetings and industry partnership meetings saying, you know, this is coming. We are going to be doing this. This is something that's going to be looked at. And they, so they knew it was there on the agenda. We had been speaking about it since the first time it was floated. However long ago that was, I can't even remember now. But we, so they were all very aware of it. And then we really just took an afternoon to sit down and look over the documents. I sent it around to everyone beforehand so they had a chance to read through it. And then we just all came together and we just read through it together and came up with our answers. And it really wasn't a huge out of, you know, time out of our day. It was like a Friday afternoon or a Thursday afternoon or something, when it's sometimes a little bit quieter with the phones. And yeah, we just sat around in a group together in the office and
sounds so, like it was almost fun.
Yeah, we had a cake. You always bring cake. That always makes it better.
Makes it better. Food will always make it better.
Cake makes everything better. Or Tim Tams, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't a huge impost. It really was not.
And then moving through to the later stages, you know, after you had sort of, you know, had your assessor come out, and then moving into that sort of quality action plan, what was their sort of, I guess, a plan around how those extra pieces of work needed to be done? Was that disseminated with the staff? Was that something you held?
Yeah, I guess we noticed some things that we had some gaps in. So we sent around an expression of interest to the staff as to who might like to come on board to assist with those particular tasks. And there were things like some of the finer points around work health and safety and, you know, some signage around some of the buildings and things like that. So people put their hand up. They were really keen to, you know, just sort of step away from that crisis of the everyday, because sometimes that's a really good balance for staff as well, to know that they can go and do something that's like that, that's practical and really you can see an outcome at the end of it when everything's neat as a pin and the way that you want it to be. Whereas sometimes, you know, working in that crisis thing, you just feel like you're traipsing through the mud all the time. So
yeah,
there was a number of staff that put their hand up and said, yep, we're more than happy to come on board with this. And they got themselves together a little committee and they designed and went round and checked out all the things that they needed to do. And that probably took them a week maybe of just, you know, an hour here or an hour there, that doing it throughout the week.
That's really a proactive approach from your staff there. It sounds like they really, yeah, just took it on board themselves and scheduled it out.
Yeah, look, we're really, really blessed with our staff. They're so committed and so, so want the service to succeed. There's no real sense of, you want me to do what? You know, it's everyone's just like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do that. Everyone's really happy to lend a hand, because we just know that when we do things together, number one, you know, that's more fun, but number two, it gets done much quicker. So it's not just one person that's responsible for it. We really do have a good team.
And I think for you as a project leader or leading the ACES, that would have made things so much easier for you as well too.
Absolutely.
You know, that shared workload.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, everyone's really intelligent and committed and passionate and wanting to really get an understanding of the workings of how everything comes together. So really having a good understanding of that work health and safety was really valuable to some of the staff members, because they had never done anything like that before, so they were really keen to do some of the little training modules that were there. And they one of our staff members is quite savvy with IT and making little videos and things like that, and they did like this work health and safety induction video, and
That was just awesome. That's amazing. You know? That's what ACES can really be about too. I think, you know, there's such a perception that it's this really heavy policies and procedures, you know, piece of work. Yeah. But in actual fact, it is practice and it can even be fun.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the thing that we really did realise is that we actually have really solid practice, and our practitioners really know why they do what they do and how they do what they do and what the lines of communication and reporting are. Those are real, like as a manager, that just gives you really good confidence that your team are able to work within the confines of the business model and what we are meant to be doing and what we're meant to be providing.
And was there any I guess challenges, roadblocks or changes like within that initial project plan with the assessor that you sort of were traveling along and then you're like, oh, hang on, we'll have to switch direction on this, or no, this isn't working? Was there anything that sort of popped up like that at any point?
Well, we actually ran fairly well to schedule. I was really pleased with how well it went. I mean, obviously COVID played a part in that, and there was some, we did have to do a little bit of manoeuvring around of dates and times and face-to-face meetings just because of that whole COVID lockdown scenario that had was occurring, and the assessor was, you know, couldn't get away at one point, and yeah, so we just had to be a little bit flexible around that sort of stuff. But you know, that's just business as usual these days with COVID. You just never know what's going to land on your doorstep from day to day in that space. So, but other than that, it's in terms of the actual getting together to a point where we felt confident that we could present our work to the assessor on the days that they were being present here. Yeah, we felt really quite confident that we had nailed it.
That must have been a good feeling. And actually, that's one of my final questions, was just two words to describe your thoughts and feelings having completed the ACES work. Well, probably at that time when that was signed and sealed.
Yeah, I think, well, it was like, phew, thank God that's over.
Phew.
But also just so much pride in the work and in the service, and just how blessed we are to have such a committed team to really bring this out. And even like so it wasn't all just the SHS team, because we've got other funded services in early childhood and child and family counselling and domestic violence services. So it wasn't just the SHS team that was doing it. Like, everyone got on board, and as for the SHS team, they just really felt so supported and so noticed and seen by the rest of the organisation.
That's a really interesting point. Yeah, that the other programs within your service recognising the change and the growth in the SHS team. Yeah. That's really motivating.
Yeah,
I love that.
Very much so. And it was a real, I guess, a real bonding experience across all of the sites, and just to make sure that everyone really knew what we did, but also what we did do was enhance the service provision in all of the other programs as well, because we brought everything into line. So everything, all of the policies, all the work health and safety, all of the procedures around the board and the finances and everything was across the service. So even though the focus was SHS, you can't help but have that stuff impacted and improved as well.
That's a great silver lining. That's a really, I hadn't thought about that in that way. That's fantastic. Yeah. So if there's two of the most important organisational learnings from doing ACES, do you think you'd like to share? What's been the key things?
Oh, definitely having your team on board. Yep. Definitely dispelling the fear or the myths or the worries around it, or the sense of the workload, and just really having your whole team on board is the most important thing you can do, because then you know everyone's moving in the same direction, they're all trying to achieve the same goal, and the load is shared. It's not just carried by one person. Yep. So, yeah, I think that spending those early days in getting everyone's understanding of what it was we were asking them to do and getting them feeling clear and confident themselves was just worth it, because then they knew there was, they felt really excited about it because they knew that we actually had it in the bag.
Yeah, you're setting it up on the right, stepping out on the right foot from the outset. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Brilliant. I love your enthusiasm about ACES, sharing all my ACES joys. I love it. It's fantastic.
I mean, I completely get that a little service that doesn't have a lot of people to work with to get things happening, it's daunting. But if you can get everyone that you have there, even your board of management on board, it just makes it so much easier, because everyone can just do one little job instead of one person doing all of the jobs.
Yep. I think that's exactly the message. That's the perfect message for us to finish on today. Is there anything else that you sort of wanted to share? And I also wanted to ask you if you were happy, if we, you know, provide an email address, if you're happy for people to reach out if they have any specific questions about anything we've chatted today, or just to sort of connect in that, you know, spirit of communities of practice type approach, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it, and for sharing so openly with us about your journey.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Thanks for listening in today. Hopefully you've gained some valuable insights or even a little bit of inspiration that you can take into your own ACES journey. I would like to credit Wesley Studio for their technical input and production, and made possible with the support of the New South Wales Department of Communities and Justice. I have been your host, Lauren Brown, and on behalf of the Industry Partnership team, here to support you on your journey from ACES to greatness.